with women who inspire us. The three of us together have a lot of experience discussing real issues that affect real women. Now, we're giving you a chance to actually hear how we talk about the topics in the newsroom behind the scenes here on the Oklahoma Women Want to Know podcast.
On this episode of Oklahoma Women Want to Know, one of my absolute favorite topics, relationships. They're all hard, as we know. We've got kids, appointments for your car, your pets, your hair. It's a lot. And sometimes the relationship gets put on the back burner. You shouldn't be ashamed to ask for a little help. Couples therapy is very common, and it could save one of the most important aspects of your life. We're excited to have Dr. Teresa Edwards live in studio today. We'll get to her in just a moment. But first, my name is April Hill. I am the midday anchor and news director here at KRMG.
I am Jen Townley. I am the co-host for the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter.
And Crystal Kelly is our reporter. Come on
Crystal
in.
Crystal just there walked in. Kelly. Introduce yourself, Crystal.
I'm Crystal.
Are we on?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
we're just starting.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, Dr. Edwards, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this field.
Well, I came to Oklahoma to pursue a bachelor's degree in music. And while I was in the music program at a local university, I started working with the director of the music technology department. And so I got a lot of access to different technology platforms, different software, and I really enjoyed it, but my mind was really set on performing, doing music. And I learned very quickly that it's very hard to get a job in music once you graduate unless you are willing to move to New York City or Nashville or teach. And that really wasn't in the cards for me. So the director of the music technology program, a few years after I graduated, got moved to the Multimedia Institute at the university, and he called and said, "Do you want a job doing graphic design and teaching the Adobe Suite?" And I said, "Sure, why not? I don't know how to do that, but why not? And he said, "You're smart, you'll learn, give it a shot." So I said, "Okay, what do I have to lose?" So I learned the Adobe Suite, I learned graphic design, and I started doing web development and graphic design, and I started teaching the Adobe Suite at the university. And I knew I loved the job, but I knew I didn't want to sit in front of a computer screen for the rest of my life. And the university had a program where if you worked full-time, you got half off of tuition. So I started looking at the master's program thinking, what do I want to do with my life? And at the time, I didn't think I ever would want to teach. Business was definitely not in the cards for me. And they had a master's in counseling. And as I was considering this, I realized that students would come into my office and sit and talk to me and tell me their life story and tell me really intimate details of their lives. And as I thought about that, I thought, this really happens everywhere. I could go to the library and perfect strangers would come up to me and start telling me their life story.
Really?
Really weird, right?
You've got a nice face.
Thank you.
I'm interrupting here, but did they know anything about you? Or are you just approachable?
Yeah, I guess.
Wow.
I mean, I would be standing in line at Walmart and I would say hi to the person behind me or in front of me and they would start talking and just spill personal details about their life. I know.
Wow.
It kind of was, once I realized that, I was like, I don't think this is normal. I don't think this happens to everyone, but maybe there's something to that.
Okay.
And so I went ahead and took a class in counseling. I thought, what do I have to lose? And I took a class in systems theory, family systems, and I sat in the class and it was like blinders came off of my eyes. I started to make sense in the context of my family system. Multi-generational patterns in my family started to make sense. The dynamics in my family started to make sense. It was like I was seeing reality for the first time, and it all made sense. And I got hooked. I couldn't get enough. And I finished a Master's of Arts in Marriage and Family Therapy. Then I finished another Master's of Arts in Professional Counseling. And then I went on to do a PhD in counseling. And I've just never looked back.
And here you are with us, the pinnacle of your career.
Holy cow. Ooh, you got a lot of work to do in this room.
Ooh, we need some help. Some of us. Okay, so tell us, how do you know if you need couples therapy?
Well, in my opinion, every couple needs therapy, right? Because we're not trained in high school. We're not trained in college how to have and maintain relationships. That's not something we just learn unless we've got amazing parents and an amazing family. And so my kind of theory is that we take our car to be checked up every 6 months to have the oil changed. We're supposed to.
I just had to get a new car because I didn't get my oil changed and I broke my engine and it's just been a whole big thing. So I just hit a soft spot this week.
She's gotten, she's gotten a lecture.
I have a lot of stuff going on in this head. It's a good thing you're here. Go ahead.
Perfect analogy for maintaining your marriage, actually. Yeah.
I'm lucky he didn't kill me in the last couple of weeks, but yeah.
And so, you know, I tell couples, if you go to have your teeth cleaned every 6 months, if you go get a physical, if you do these things to make sure you're on track, why wouldn't you check on your marriage? But the number one indicator of a successful marriage is a strong friendship. So when you start feeling disconnected, when you start feeling alone in your relationship, when you start feeling unheard, when you stop having fun together, those are huge, huge indicators. Those are big warning lights that it needs tuned up. Something needs to be checked.
And that happens a lot with everybody's busy lives.
Yeah.
Especially like with Jen, she's got two small kids and a husband that works different hours than her. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you suggest for someone like Jen who just, her and her husband work separate hours, she's got two small kids?
This is going to be the Jen hour now. I have, my daughter is 11. My little boy just turned 4. My husband and I have been together about 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. We're in Oklahoma. His whole family's in Louisiana. My whole family's in New York. So everyone's always like, well, you need to go out a little while. You need to have a date night. You need to do this. And right now it's just like that. I can't remember the last time we did that. We don't have the parents or the sisters and brothers to lean on to watch the kids for a couple of hours. So say if we were going to go out and do something, it's going to end up costing us a fortune right now because we need a babysitter and we need to, you know, there's just so many things. And then, with my job here at KRMG and the fact that I'm here so early because I work on the morning show, when he ended up changing his job, because it used to be where he would just get the kids off to school and then he'd go to work and say, go in at like 10 and just have his day would just be shifted back. He's working evenings. Wow. So yeah, I come home from work and I sit on the couch and he's kind of waking up and stirring around to go start his day. And I'm getting ready to take a nap on the couch. And I stay on the couch so that way we can hang out for a few minutes before I pass out.
Now, I read your blog, and what you said on your blog was you either invest now or you invest later. I loved that.
Yeah, that's kind of my philosophy. Pay now or pay later. Either you pay now by being creative in how you spend time together. You pay now by investing in a babysitter. You pay now by spending those 10 minutes every day catching up, or you end up paying later by feeling disconnected, unwanted, uncared for, or possibly even paying for a divorce attorney and paying for mediation just to fight over custody of the kids. But in some way, you're going to have to pay. It's just what you choose, where you choose to pay.
We end up hanging out at home a lot.
Enjoy each other. You're very in love. It's just.
Yeah. We still apparently like each other a whole lot. I mean, we're best friends. We do like each other. I mean, we have our problems and, you know, lose our patience just like everybody else. But I mean, all in all, I mean, we're good. We're just, we've rent a lot of movies and we all hang out just together. I mean, the pandemic kind of did a little in and, you know, the economy's awful. Yeah. And then we have the two kids. And so it's just a lot. I mean, we do hang out.
Yeah.
When we're on the weekends.
That's really what dating is, right?
Hanging out.
Remember high school, you didn't have the money to go see a show at the PAC. But really dating is both of you being intentional about being together and your attention is focused on the same thing. You're in the same moment, you're together, and you're having fun. You're not doing shop talk. You're not talking about the lawn needing mowed. You're not talking about the piles of laundry that aren't done. You're engaging each other on a common topic, and you're enjoying each other. I mean, that's really what a date is.
So we're not as bad as it seems to be.
Yeah.
We hang out at home. We do need to leave the house and go out to dinner. That would be lovely.
You need to be.
It's in the back of my head that might happen one day.
You need to be Jen and her man, not Jen, the mom of these kids.
Yeah, here we go, Crystal.
No, I mean, you need to take that time for yourself.
Yes.
To be someone other than someone's mom.
And even doing things at home. You know, my husband and I love New Orleans. And one of the date night ideas I came up with for us, because we can't travel as much as we like, would be to string some lights out on the outside patio and make a pot of gumbo and put on some blues and sit outside and pretend we're in New Orleans.
My husband makes the best gumbo.
Well, there you go.
I'm just saying.
There you go.
Well, he is from Louisiana.
I mean, you could put the table outside right next to the chicken coop.
Did you have to bring that up?
That's a
whole nother podcast.
She had to bring up the chickens.
But no, I mean, like with April and I, our children are grown. So even though we're both still kind of raising them a little bit, we have the luxury of having the time to do that. So I know that my boyfriend and I, we go to dinner every Friday.
Nice.
That is just our set thing. And then usually on Saturdays or something, we'll go to the lake and walk around the trails or something like that. So we're spending a lot of time together just talking.
Yeah.
Which that's when I feel the closest
to my
husband.
Me too. And I love those moments. And then I see Jen and she needs those moments.
Oh, we talk plenty.
Well, I know, but you need time alone connect like you were, you know what I mean?
I mean, we certainly connect and we do, but it would be nice for us to just have the opportunity where we can get out of the house, just the two of us.
Yeah.
You know, because the last time we went out to dinner, it was all four of us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just been a little more difficult to get things to work out. We also have a four-year-old. So that kind of makes things, you know, a little
difficult.
Difficult. You know, the 11-year-old, she's more self-sufficient, but
Well, and there are smaller things couples can do, right? In the morning before one of you leaves, kissing goodbye, asking each other, what's on your heart today? What's on your mind today? You know, what's happening today that I need to be aware of? So that you're on the same page with each other. When you see each other at the end of the day, giving a 6-second kiss, a kiss worth coming home to. And the reason that I say 6 seconds is that that's when the brain starts releasing oxytocin, which is the bonding chemical. So by kissing for 6 seconds, you're actually rebonding to each other. And then having a stress-reducing conversation at the end of the day. This might be 10 minutes each of, tell me something about your day that was stressful, that you need to decompress on, that you need to unload about. And just let me listen. I'm not going to fix it. I don't need to fix it. I don't need to have a solution for you. I just need to be with you in the problem. And just those three simple routines can keep couples feeling close and connected and aware of each other's worlds and feeling like partners.
Although I was unloading too much. Now that Jen and Crystal are here with me at KRMG, I'm very, very happy. They make me happy and laugh every day. So they're kind of my therapists at work. So now when I go home, I don't unload as much. I was unloading too much every
night. You're welcome, Matt.
Yeah. Welcome, Matt. So you don't want to do too much
either. You're right. Yeah. I mean, it needs to be the goal in the stress-reducing conversations is to stay aware of each other's worlds and to feel connected in things that are going on outside of home.
And I guess then with that also, it's while your partner is your number one confidant, they're not a counselor.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's when I vent to my husband, I have to make it clear where I'm like, I don't want you to solve my problems for me. I just want to get it off my chest. I just need to tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to fix anything. Just listen.
Yeah.
And just, yeah.
And that's actually kind of the basis of the stress-reducing conversation is you listen to understand and connect. You do not listen to fix.
Which men have a habit.
Yes.
Right. I had to get into that early on with, I don't need you to fix anything.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, it was like he felt like he needed to fix whatever I was upset about. I'm like, you don't have to fix it.
Well,
that's
a man thing. He loves you. He wants to take care of you.
Yeah,
so let me fix this for you.
Yeah, and you can.
Yeah. But then I get annoyed. I think that's what would happen. I would vent. He would try to fix. I would get annoyed. Is that how it would go with you guys
of
too?
Of course.
No, not me.
Crystal's in a whole other situation.
She lives in love. There's only like rainbows and unicorns in Crystal's world.
Well, I didn't find the right guy till I was 43 years old.
Me too. I was 41.
So no relationships before that. Never been married. So I got a really good one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Took a long time.
You got a lot of practice. You and I got a lot of practice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We were talking before the podcast about this test. Tell us about this test with the four parts about if you're going to be a successful couple or not.
Yeah.
This was so interesting.
So I am trained in the Gottman method, and Dr. John Gottman has over 40 years of scientifically researching couples. And he can actually predict with over 90% accuracy by watching 15 minutes of a conflict conversation whether couples will stay together or get divorced. And he can actually predict when in the course of their marriage they will get divorced. But there are four indicators that are predictive of divorce. He calls them the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And those four indicators are criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling. So four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, if you're familiar in Revelation, the four horsemen predict the end, right? The end times are coming. So when these four horsemen are kind of running amok in your relationship, then it's predictive that there is big trouble ahead. What he also found is that it takes five positive interactions to wipe out the effects of one negative interaction. So a relationship that's healthy and happy, what he calls the masters of relationships, have to have this huge atmosphere of positivity and connection.
And that, and when we were discussing this prior to starting the interview, when you mentioned what those four things are, it made sense.
And you said contempt was the number one. So talk about what that means.
Contempt is, which really is disrespect. You're disrespecting your partner either through facial expressions, nonverbal cues, you know, mocking, mimicking, sarcasm. You're seeing yourself as better than your partner in some way, and you're really putting them down. Contempt is the number one predictor of divorce, but it's also a predictor of how many infectious illnesses the receiver will have in the next 3 years because it lowers the amount of white blood cells in the body. So it's physically toxic to a person.
I don't see any of us doing that in our relationships.
Wow.
Do you guys do that?
No.
No, not in this one, but there have been people that I've dated in the past where they've started to, you know, kind of put me down and I'm like, okay, well, I don't like that. So bye. But I'm one of those people that I just, if I see that's going to go somewhere, I'm just, okay, nope, done. But but I see how a lot of people who are insecure would probably put down the other person a lot just to boost their self-esteem. And I've seen that. And it's awful.
Yeah.
It brings up insecurities that shouldn't be there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So do you see couples that are unfixable very often? That you're like, okay, you guys just don't need to be together.
The majority of couples that I see, if both people are really willing to work on the marriage, every marriage has problems. 69% of problems that couples face are perpetual because they're based in personality differences. They're based in differences in values and background. So you're never going to find a relationship that doesn't have problems.
I notice you haven't brought up money yet. So I would figure that would be one of the biggest, but is it not one of the biggest problems in a marriage?
Usually issues in money are about power and communication. So it's about someone wants power, someone wants dominance in the relationship. They're not willing to share power and influence, or there's an issue in communication, because money itself is usually issues about money are not about money. Mm-hmm. They're about what money represents to the person. Safety, security, power.
Yes.
Freedom. And so we oftentimes have big life dreams around money. And so when couples are fighting about money, they're actually fighting about those big life dreams that they're not communicating to each other. There's a fear, there's a want, there's a longing that needs to be flushed out in order to come to agreement about how money's handled.
Or there's just financial abuse, which I've experienced.
Right, yes.
I was married to a gambling addict.
Oh,
and he
yes.
wanted all the money for him to spend
right.
on gambling. And mm. if I spent $20, it would be a huge fight because
right.
he wanted that $20 to spend.
Right. And then that's using money as a tool for abuse.
Yes.
So that's it, the extreme end of unhealthy relationship.
It was very.
Yeah. mm.
And that's over.
Thanks.
So do you feel like the communication between couples kind of is the first start? You have to start communicating about your feelings?
You have to build the friendship so there's a safe atmosphere to communicate in. So when couples usually... Couples wait an average of 7 years before they get help for a problem. So this problem has been festering for 7 years, and now it's just not possibly a small solvable problem. It's turned into a big perpetual issue with a lot of underlying emotions. And people come in and they feel disconnected, they feel hurt, they're feeling resentful. So the very first step is I can teach them all the communication skills and all the problem-solving skills in the world. But if there's not a reason to communicate, if there's not a reason to use those skills, it's pointless. So we have to rebuild that connection and rebuild that friendship so that there's a safe atmosphere to use the skills that I can teach them.
I also feel like jealousy can be very toxic.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
I hate that too because—
I mean, I hate feeling it. I hate
yes.
experiencing it from
someone else. I love going out dancing with my girlfriends. I mean, that's just, it's my cardio, it's my fun, I love it. And a lot of my friends' husbands don't want them to go out with the girls. My boyfriend's like, yeah, I'll drop you off if you want me to, because he knows I need that. It's
yeah.
not about meeting other guys or cheating or
no,
anything like
it's,
that.
It's a release and hanging out with your girlfriends and having a good time.
Yeah. And I don't yeah. think guys understand that women need that. And so that constant jealousy is weird.
Yeah.
To me. It's a turn off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
very
much
of a turn off. So how do you deal with that in that situation where you're like, I need this time away from you without you flipping out?
Yeah. And that would definitely be a perpetual issue that's based in a personality characteristic, right? They're insecure. Maybe they are needing more attention than they feel like they're giving. So this could become a perpetual problem that, you know, you're always trying to hold on to me too. You're holding on too tight. You're holding on too tight. And so then it's looking at what is the underlying issue going on here? What is at the root of this insecurity or this need for closeness that the other person's not able to give? And kind of fleshing out, where is this coming from? And a lot of times this comes from stories in our past. Things that have happened to us in our past that impacted us a lot and shaped our worldview. Another example is it just could be the person is controlling,
mm-hmm.
right? They
mm-hmm.
just are controlling. Yep. They're trying to control the other person.
Or they're cheating themselves.
They're
experienced
cheating themselves.
That.
And yes, so then there's projection mm-hmm. of, well, you're going to cheat because I'm doing mm-hmm. it.
So you can't go out because that's what I'm doing.
That
right.
seems to be the biggest one, is that the ones who are cheating.
Big old red flag.
I know. So there's a lot of manipulation, too,
yeah.
in relationships. And you said that, you know, you see a lot of these relationships. And April had asked, have you seen any that are not salvageable? Do you find that with the manipulation, those are like the main ones that are out the door?
The ones that I find that aren't salvageable, usually I surprisingly see a lot of couples where there are narcissistic symptoms in the men. And so when a couple comes in and I'm hearing, well, it's all her. She needs to change this. She needs to change that. It's not me. If she would just get her act together, this marriage would be fine. Oh, big red flag, right?
Ugh. Yeah.
I've been there.
Big
Ugh.
Red
Yikes.
Flag. And, you know, therapy only works 10% of the time with a true-blown narcissist because it's never their fault. They're never the problem. So why should I work on myself? It's not me. It's you. If you would just get your act straight, we'd be fine.
And a lot of women buy into that,
too. A lot of women buy into it. And it's really toxic because then as this goes on, their self-esteem starts to plummet. They start to believe this narrative that he's creating. Then they start feeling helpless. And it really creates this kind of emotional dependency of, I'm not good enough for anything else in my life but you. And he's feeding into that tearing down. So that's a huge red flag for me as a therapist. Like, are both people coming and saying, I know I do this. I know I need to work on this. I know I participate in this. When I don't see that, that's a huge red flag. And when I see signs of abuse, so if a person is characterologically abusive, meaning that abuse is part of their character, marriage therapy will not work. It's actually contraindicated. It will make the abuse worse.
The therapy will make the abuse worse.
Yes.
Because one person will be trying hard and the other person will be taking more.
Or they're hearing that they're doing this and that and it's just making them more angry.
Well, no? Yeah, they leave therapy. Why did you tell her that? Why would you tell her I did that? Uh-huh. Why don't tell her that anymore? Don't say that. And I've actually gotten threatening letters from guys.
Oh.
Of, yeah.
Wow. Actually, I'm not surprised.
That's like a big thing, like, oh, so it is your fault.
You know? So, you know, when I see a new couple, I'm kind of assessing, what are the dynamics? What's really going on here? Is there characterological abuse taking place? Is someone presenting with a personality disorder? What are the dynamics in the relationship? Because that's really going to indicate how successful therapy can be.
Wow. Okay, so where can people find you?
Well, my website is drtedwards.com. And on my website, I've got blogs, I've got links to my Instagram, I've got links to my Facebook, and I'm actually doing all virtual counseling right now. So I even see couples virtually, which is really great because they don't even have to be in the same location. They can both log into a HIPAA-compliant portal and we can do sessions. So all the information's on my website. Awesome. DrTEdwards.com.
Thank you for letting us pick your brain. Yeah. We got a lot to talk about now.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Wednesday on the Oklahoma Women Want to Know podcast.
Thank you for joining us once again on Oklahoma Women Want to Know. Tune in each Wednesday at 5 a.m. for the latest episode. And don't forget to drop us a review.